Blog Talk Radio.
Work it, make it, do it, makes us all the better, faster, stronger. Work it, that
don't kill me, can only make me stronger. I need you to hurry up, man, cause I can't wait much longer. I know I got to be right now, cause I can't get much stronger. Man, I've been waiting all night, man, that's how long I've been on ya.
Work it, make it better.
Let's get lost tonight. You could be my black Kate Moss tonight. Play secretary on the ball tonight. And you don't give a f- what they all say, right?
Here we go, guys. It's week 11 in the National Football League. Todd Ullman is our guest. Here we go.
One bleeds red, and one bleeds blue. Two friends, one heated rivalry. It's intense. It's no holds barred. It's game time.
Hey, let's go.
On Red versus Blue Sports Talk Radio with your host Scott Atkins and Michael Trent. Scott and Mike and their versatility bring new light to many topics in and out of the world of fantasy sports. Guests can reach the show by calling 347-324-5404. Red versus Blue Sports Talk Radio, where Planet Red and Big Blue Nation collide. Let's hope they're still friends afterwards. Here they are, Scott and Mike.
Coming live from Indianapolis. Hello, everybody, and welcome to Red versus Blue, high-stakes fantasy radio, wherever you may be. Thanks for making us part of your night. I'm Scott Atkins, team legacy in the world of high-stakes fantasy football, and boy, do we have a show tonight. It's week 11 in the National Football League, and as always, I'm joined by my Big Blue co-host from Brandenburg, Kentucky, Michael Trent. Before we get to that, Mike, the University of Louisville kicked off their new stadium, Downtown Arena, the Yum Center, in front of a packed house to host Butler Tuesday night, and they got themselves a W.
All right, no question about it, Scott. They look great. I mean, there's no better way to open up a new center. And, you know, for anybody that's listening that's been around Louisville and the surrounding area, you need to go see that arena. That is a beautiful arena. And that was a great job of Louisville about doing what they did. And I'm sitting here watching Kentucky. They're up 23-13 on Portland, but, you know, it's Portland. But it was a beautiful scene and a great way for Louisville to kick off their year. Scott? Scott. Well, we may have lost Scott anyway, but, you know, what I was saying is, you know, in college basketball, I mean, it's just heating up. But right now the grand scheme of things is pro football. And what we're looking at is as far as over in Pittsburgh, for instance, and a lot of fantasy owners, a lot of guys and, you know, gals, you know, you're looking at different things, and we're looking at different things ourselves. We're hoping
Mike,
to have
it,
Todd Ullman. You there, Bob?
You saved the show, buddy. Last week that happened, and you disappeared. I just wanted to test you out early in the show to see if you were still there, what would happen if I disappeared, and you handled it well. You aced it with flying colors, man. 347-324-5404
is the
number.
We're live. You weren't testing me. You're
going to take
crap.
I'm testing you, man. When we have technical difficulties, like, we can't sit there and just have dead silence for about 20 minutes, you know. The crew, we have the crew, the chat room here at Red versus Blue is comprised of the best minds in fantasy football, in high-stakes fantasy football, bar none. It is week 11 in the National Football League, so if you have a lineup decision that you want to get answered tonight, you come into the chat room, you log in, don't be shy, get you a username over at Blog Talk Radio. It takes you a couple of minutes. You get that set up, then you come into our chat room. You can ask a question anonymously. We've got a lot of listeners in the chat room already, and the questions are already flying in the chat room, Mike. We've got questions. We've got people starting Mike Thomas this week after the big Hail Mary play he had last week. He had a heck of a week, man. Mike Thomas, 8 catches, 149 yards, and a touchdown. He's been getting the targets. Gerard likes throwing to him, and now you have Mike Sims-Walker out with an injury, Mike. Mike Thomas, a lot of that success came from that Hail Mary pass. It deflected right into his hands, but look, Mike, he still had 8 receptions in 2 of his last 4 games and touchdowns in back-to-back games. Thomas could emerge as a very dependable receiving option here in Jacksonville.
Yeah, no doubt, Scott. And one thing about it, who's been one of the most hot quarterbacks in the NFL in the last 3 weeks? It's been Gerard, David Gerard. I mean, this guy is going nuts. And he's getting, you know, he got a lot of the stats last week from that play, but cut dry and simple, you know, that guy's getting it done, and Jack Del Rio, he's believing in him, and, you know, it was real funny when I heard on another show, it was MJD, Maurice Jones-Drew, who's a big fantasy player. He's like, man, I wish they'd quit throwing it to Mercedes Lewis because, you know, I don't have him on my fantasy league. You know,
yeah.
He's like, I'm going to have to start running in from 50 yards.
Yeah, listen, Mike Thomas was turning heads in, he was turning corners around in the preseason. There were plenty of people that thought that he was already more talented than Mike Sims-Walker. Now, this week, he draws a Browns passing defense that's in the bottom 10 in the league. Mike, they're only allowing 245 passing yards per game. They've consistently been burned by big plays. They've allowed 32 passing plays of over 20 yards. So on the season, when you look at Thomas, he's got 10 catches of 20 yards. That ties him for 13th in the league. He leads the Jags in receptions with 41 and yards over 500. This looks like a nice play for Mike Thomas. If you need a starter this week, I think you could do a whole lot worse. 15 points sounds like a very safe assumption for Mike Thomas, and that's a nice game at this late in the season if you can make sure you lock up that 15 points. Now, if Mike Sims-Walker is out, the counter-argument is he will be locked up with a number one cornerback, Mike. But, look, you got to throw to somebody. And David Gerard, I think, has found him a nice little weapon and a dependable player in Mike Thomas. So, again, against the Browns,
you know what? I think
that's
a great
league
game.
Against wide out.
Yeah. You know, that's a great game to open up with. Cleveland, Jacksonville. Jacksonville is only a 1.5-point favorite. The over and under is 43. So that screams a point. But, you know, I'd be scared if I'm a Peyton Hillis owner right now. Peyton Hillis has done everything you can ask for. He's done it all. But in this game, I would be really scared. If you have another running back option, I might want to go that route because Jacksonville, they're feeling the juices. They're feeling good. They're feeling good about their team. And even though the over and under is 43, I don't think it's going to hit 43. And, you know, Jacksonville and Dave Gerard, and that whole bunch, you know, they're feeling pretty good about themselves. So, you know, I know Cleveland's playing well, but Jacksonville is.
They are.
So it's going to be pretty tough.
Cleveland is definitely playing well. That's an understatement right now. They laid it to the New England Patriots. I don't know how the Jets escaped with a win. When I go back and watch that, because there was so much momentum, the Jets' defense really clamped down in the second half. That seems to be a staple of what they do. They really just put it down. But look at Hillis, 19 for 82 and a touchdown against the New York Jets. Sanchez looked brilliant. I think his best game in his career as a pro, 299 yards, 2 touchdowns. You're starting to see that balanced run game that we talked about last week, Mike. Sean Green and LT kind of carrying the load. And then Keller, What's going on with Keller? A 3 for 25, it seems like another week where he's just not involved. Ever since Antonio Holmes has came back, Keller has been MIA. But Cleveland against Jacksonville, I can't really put Jacksonville as a favorite with what I've been seeing from this Cleveland team, Mike. Jacksonville, they're number 32 in the league against wide receivers. Well, they're dead last. So can anybody step up on in for Colt McCoy besides Ben Watson and maybe, you know, throw the ball, catch the ball down the field? Could it be Cribbs or I don't even know if he's healthy, Massaquoi? Somebody step up for this team and take advantage of these Jacksonville corners that are ripe for the picking. So I'm like you, Mike.
Yeah, well,
43.5. Give me Cleveland in this game.
Well, Scott, the only reason that Jacksonville is favored is because they're 1.5-point favorite. But you got to remember that home team is always given 3 points. So when you take that into account, Cleveland should be a 2-point favorite. Cleveland should be a 2-point favorite in this game because you always give the home team 3 points. And Jacksonville is the home team. So, with that said, I still like Jacksonville in this game, and I still like them shutting down Peyton Hillis.
Again, 347-324-5404 is the number. We've got a full chat room. Brothers Mayhem, E2A, Garbage Point, 7.2 a regular. Marty, 172, welcome to Red vs. Blue, my friend. Mino Brown, Rampo, Shot Caller, Sideline Foul. The list goes on. Lance, Sports Betting Man, the Prognosticator, and War Kittens, John Duckworth. They're all in the chat room tonight. We are live on Blog Talk Radio. We can be found on FSC.FM. That's the Fantasy Sports Channel. Mark Ronick and the guys bringing it 24 hours a day. We might be doing a Thanksgiving show next Thursday. We've got to confirm that. So there's 3 games next Thursday. We had one last night, Mike. I don't know if you got to see it, but Chicago shut out Miami. It was a terrible game from start to finish. Nothing was going on. Luckily, if you had the Chicago defense, you felt pretty good. Other than that, maybe Forte, he got you 17, 18 points. Other than that, it was non-existent. Brandon Marshall owners, I'm sorry. Everything looked like he was going to have a big day, no matter who's throwing him the ball. Thigpen was supposed to be, looking pretty good, and he just – the Chicago really confused him. Chicago's on a roll, Mike. Chicago is a team that if they get a little bit of momentum, they can do some damage.
Well, the question I want to ask is why in the heck was Ronnie Brown and Ricky Williams – allowed to run the ball only, 9 times? I mean, you're facing a Chicago Bear defense that is one of the best defenses that they've seen since the days of, Buddy Ryan. So why in the heck did Miami not try to at least run the ball at all? Because Tyler Thigpen, I mean, he was 3 steps back and he had 5 guys in his face. So, it just blows my mind. I didn't see the game from snap to snap, but I saw a lot of replays, and I do not understand why Miami did not at least try to, establish some kind of run.
Yeah, well, that's a good point, Mike, better than the point you made. You're getting a little flack in the chat room from Marty 172. He's saying, this Mike guy, he's nuts. So we're bringing the heat here in Red versus Blue, as always. Todd Ullman is our guest, the world champion of fantasy football from 2006. For those of you that might listen to the show every once in a while, or maybe you've seen the posts on Twitter or Facebook, and you're saying, fantasy football, that seems a little silly to me. Todd Ullman won $200,000 playing fantasy football, okay? Is it silly now? I don't think so. There's a lot of money and coin on the line, and these guys know what they're talking about. The crew, the chat room here at Red versus Blue, you guys have 1 week left to make your mark and get into the playoffs at the Fantasy Football Players Championship and at the World Championship of Fantasy Football. Dustin Aspey is our guest next Friday night from the World Championship. He's going to join us right here. I know we've got some questions about this playoff format, what's going on. They've made some changes. We're going to talk about that next week with Dustin. And tonight, Todd Ullman's here, and we're going to talk about him. He has 2 teams, Mike, in the World Championship. And wouldn't you know it, both of them are in the hunt for the playoffs. It looks like they're both going to make it, and we're going to talk to him about his decisions. Let's get caught up on this injury report, Mike, from Friday. It's sounds like Eddie Royal. He didn't practice on Friday with a hamstring. That makes him questionable. The reason why I'm bringing up Eddie Royal, it's the Monday night game, Mike, and I know you love to watch the over and unders in these games, Denver and San Diego. That game's primed to be a shootout.
Yeah, it is. You know, Scott, they, you know, both these teams, they just love to score, and you know, I just see a bunch of points being put up there. But you know what? On the other side of it, the defense, you know, the defense can they can do what they need to do. But Denver, San Diego, I mean, you know, we're talking about an over and under that's going to be pretty high. Right now, I'm showing it at 50, over 50, and you know, in
yeah,
NFL. Yeah, I mean that's pretty tough. And San Diego, 10-point favorite. San Diego, what do they do in the last 3 years? What have they done? They continue to pound on teams left and right. So, but then again, Denver, they come around and they're showing things. But Malcolm Floyd, I think he should be healthy. And, you know, there's a lot of things that San Diego has to feel good about. But the one thing that I question about San Diego is their running game.
Yeah, the run game definitely has its concerns with Ryan Matthews, Tolbert, Sproles. There's just a lot of questions here. But you know what? Ryan Matthews with the ankle, he's up in the air for Week 11. I think he will play. But Tolbert, he typically sees all the, you know, the work, including the goal line touches anyway. And Matthews looked like the more utilized back, but he didn't show much thump in the running game. So San Diego's shown they're comfortable giving Tolbert the majority of work on the fly. And I think Tolbert, you know, he should see his typical work this week. And even if Matthews plays, that might be enough for the goal line, you know, carrier against this Broncos run D that's getting absolutely gashed. Now, they didn't allow many rushing yards last week. The Chiefs, they were throwing to come back from that huge deficit, but you can't look at that. They let the Oakland Raiders run absolutely wild on them, and so did Frank Gore. So, you know, I kind of like Mike Tolbert on a Monday night game, unless you think that it's going to be Matthews coming out party.
I don't think it's going to be Matthews coming out party. I think that San Diego is going to get ahead quick through the air. So, you know, I don't think it's going to be necessarily Tolbert, Matthews, any of them. I think it's going to be through the air. And I think if you're an owner, any wide receiver of Denver, then you might be a happy guy because they're going to be coming. I mean, they got to come from behind.
Listen, we've got a great Who Do I Start that I want to bring up to you because we've got Todd Ullman coming on in just a few minutes, the former world champion of fantasy football. We've got pick four here, Mike. I want you to look at these options here. Randy Moss versus Washington. Again, a total disappearing act here for this season. Malcolm Floyd coming back from Denver. I think he's a must put. You got to put him in your lineup this week coming back and on that over-under. Mike Williams from Tampa Bay. Now, that's a dicey situation. DUI. We'll talk about that here in a minute. He pulled a Mike Trent special on you. Mike Thomas versus Cleveland. We've already talked about him and his upside. Amendola versus Atlanta and Gaffney versus San Diego. You got to pick four. That means you got to bench two of those guys, Mike. Randy Moss, Floyd, Mike Williams of Tampa, Mike Thomas, Amendola, or Gaffney. I'm going to give you the floor first. Which two would you bench out of those six?
Okay, out of those one, two, three, four, I would bench Williams, and I would bench probably Thomas. I'm going to take Amendola because I've been a big fan of Amendola. The reason why is because I can guarantee you, he gets receptions immediately out of the box. The guy is he's solid. You know, you can count on him to get something right out of the way. Jabbar Gaffney, this could be a perfect game. You know, like what I just talked about. Denver could be coming from behind against San Diego. I love Jabbar Gaffney. Randy Moss, question mark, big time question mark. Malcolm Floyd, question mark. I would bench Williams and Thomas out of that bunch.
All right, Mike. Well, you know, good call. That's a huge game there. That Gaffney versus San Diego is going to be very hard to bench him. But when I look at his performance, and I'm looking at week to week, it looks like he's a 15-point guy. To get you 15, that's kind of his upside. He's had one game higher than that all season long. And so Amendola, conversely, I know you like him. I like Amendola to maybe even get 20 this week against Atlanta. And we'll talk about that game here in a little bit. Moss is the one I would bench just because, you know, you got to show me something. You got to show me something. I don't care what.
Yep.
We're way past the time that you look at where you drafted a player and put him in there. You have to just go with the guy who's performing, and it's not Randy Moss right now. Malcolm Floyd, you have to put in there. It's his week back. Antonio Gates is not there. You've got to put Malcolm Floyd in there. And this whole Mike Williams system situation, I don't think he is he got a DUI for blowing two breathalyzers under .08. He blew under the legal limit. He failed the field sobriety test, Mike. It sounds like something you'd do. You know, it's like, spell the alphabet backwards.
I mean,
and you're like, Z, Q.
The bottom line is, you're in the NFL. Nothing good happens at 3:40 in the morning, okay? And the bottom line is, these guys got to understand that. Nothing good happens at 3:40 in the morning.
Yeah, well, that's...
Hello?
Okay, so Mike, did you pass the test or what, man? That's two timeouts in the same show. You passed the first one. What happened in the second one? Tell me. Okay, Mike. Mike didn't pass. I gave him the test. Well, look, we had some technical difficulties again. This is the second time in a row we've got some issues. I think we've got it cleared up, and we've got Todd Allman coming on. Let me see if I can get Mike back to the program. The switchboard's been kind of flaky. Mike, are you back with us, my friend?
Oh, yeah.
Luckily, we have the chat room that's going steady. It's Steady Eddie in there. They're going wild with the Who Do I starts. And the technical difficulties are over. So that means we're going to go ahead and bring on our special guest of the evening. Todd Altman, a.k.a. River Dogs, joins us live on Red vs. Blue amidst all the chaos here. Todd, welcome, buddy. How you doing tonight?
I'm doing great. Thanks a lot for having me on.
Good to have you, Todd.
Absolutely, Todd. We're thrilled to have you on, buddy. And just so everybody knows, tell us a little bit about yourself, where you're from, and how long you've been playing fantasy sports.
All right. I live in Southern California, Los Angeles area. I've been doing fantasy football for probably about 17, 18 years. Started out running my own leagues and been addicted to it ever since, and got involved in the high stakes about 2005. And I play way too many leagues.
Got involved in high stakes in 2005, and he wins the World Championship in 2006.
Yeah, I have a partner, too, Richard Berger. We're 50-50 partners. We won it together.
Yeah,
that's
so you cool, guys...
go ahead, Scott.
Okay, listen, Todd and Richard is a part owner. You guys have a couple of teams this year, and we pulled up the teams, and we saw that you not only are looking good in one, but you also are looking good in the other. And I'm starting to see you pulled off Frank Gore in both leagues. You pulled off Malcolm Floyd in both leagues. Just those are two real solid anchors. Talk about what you saw in Gore and Floyd that made you want to have them on both those teams.
Well, you know, we talked a lot about our first pick. It seems like you spend the most time talking about your first pick. And we were going back and forth that we might take, you know, Andre Johnson if he made it to five. But we pretty much decided that morning in both leagues, if we could get him, that we would take Frank Gore at five. You know, it just seemed like a great year for him, and he catches the ball a lot out of the backfield. He has very little competition, and it looked like the 49ers are going to be a really big team this year. So we did it, and we're pretty happy we got Gore on both teams.
Hey, you've got a real good shot at this thing. In both these teams, you have very solid quarterbacks. It appears in one of them you waited for your quarterback and snagged Rivers. And so you've been doing the Rivers-Malcolm Floyd thing when they were healthy. And now in the other, you spent a very high pick on Aaron Rodgers, and that's unlike a lot of high-stakes veterans. Talk about why you decided to pull the trigger early on an Aaron Rodgers. Very risky. Is that something you normally do?
No, it's not something I normally do. I generally, you know, like a lot of the high stakes, you know, experienced players, generally wait on quarterbacks in a lot of my leagues. But, you know, I learned in the last couple of years, for me personally, it works best to not really stick to any hardcore rules like that. And if a player falls to you and you think that it's great value, you know, you just sometimes, you know, bite the bullet and take them. And another thing that, you know, when you get real confident and you feel like you can pick good, you feel like you can make it up later in the draft. So if a guy like Aaron Rodgers falls to you and you think that he shouldn't have made it that far, which is what happened, we didn't go into the draft expecting to draft Aaron Rodgers, then we'll take him and we figure we can make it up with later picks.
Well, let's take a look at this team that you started with. I'm looking at the Burger Kings team that you and Richard are a part of. I see in your lineup this week, it's very interesting now, you know, Javid Best has the toe injury, and it looks like you have him on the bench right now for Dustin Keller at the Jets. If Javid Best plays, is Keller going to see is he going to see the lineup, or are you going to leave Keller in there, who's been very uninspiring?
Well, you know, it's a big week, obviously, and we're talking a lot this week, Richard and I, and we are going back and forth all over the place. Keller's been pretty disappointing, but, I mean, Houston's the worst against the pass, so we figured it's a good week to put him in. And then we got Zach Miller on the bench, and he could have a big week too. So, really, we've got, like, three guys that we're discussing at flex. You know, Malcolm Floyd was in the consideration, but I'm actually getting real nervous about Malcolm Floyd now. You know, there's reports that his hamstring were tight, and I got the impression last year that he's just kind of slow coming back from injuries. You know, granted, this year he's the go-to guy, and last year he was just a role player, but I'm just a little nervous about him coming back after that hamstring.
Well, you're right about Houston Texans defense. They allow a ton of yards, and Mark Sanchez threw for 300 for the second consecutive week, and this week he draws the worst passing defense in the league. And if you have Jericho Cotchery out, I can kind of see now what you're talking about. It makes for a very interesting situation. Now, you also have Zach Miller in the lineup who has – He's publicly declared that he will play in this game, but he's no spring chicken right now himself. He does have he's been limited, but he did say he will play. Is he another consideration of yours that might find the pine for maybe a guy like Javid Best to pop into the lineup? Javid Best is one of those guys that he didn't look very good at all last week, and now he draws the Dallas Cowboys. So is Beth even a consideration? I know you also have Jacoby Ford as a possibility. Is he even on the radar?
Jacoby Ford is not on the radar to put in the starting lineup. I just think that those other guys that we're discussing are a better option. We are even discussing putting Steve Breston in because he had a real impressive game last week. So, no, definitely not Jacoby Ford. And, you know, it's going to be a last-minute decision. Who knows? Between the guys that we're discussing, we're just going to kind of go with what we see and what we talk about, and it will be a last-minute decision.
I'm also a little surprised and again, this is just good conversation to get guys, you know, thinking caps going here. You've got Steve Smith from Carolina also in your lineup, and, man, I know you're disappointed with him, Todd. And you've got a guy like Steve Breston on your bench who has looked more than capable with Derek Anderson throwing the ball. He's got a matchup against KC. I know Mike likes that over-under. That's, what is that, Mike? 43, 44, something like that?
Actually, it's 43 and a half, and I've been listening to Todd talking about it. And, you know, I've got to almost go with Steve Breston in this arrangement here because you know, it sets up perfectly for Steve Breston to continue to do what he's doing.
Yeah, you know, that is a good point. We talked real briefly about not playing Steve Smith, Carolina, because he's been so bad. But, you know, you got to think that they're going to be behind and they're really going to have no choice but to throw. They've got a brand new quarterback in there. I don't know. It seems like the minute you bench Steve Smith, Carolina is when he comes out and has a big game. But he's definitely a possibility to bench too.
Yeah, that is a situation with Brandon LaFell out. They're going to have to throw to somebody, and you have Jonathan Stewart out. Mike Goodson is the starter there. So, yeah, Baltimore should jump all over Carolina. My only fear would be that, you know what, they just go ahead and double up Steve Smith, and that team becomes so inept, nothing happens at all. So very wise of those teams that went ahead and picked up the Baltimore Ravens defense this week. Let's go ahead and turn our attention to this other team here, Todd, because, again, you've got two teams. It looks like you're pretty safe for the playoffs in both of them. And you've got a guy on your bench this week I want to talk about, Rob Gronkowski, the tight end of the Patriots. Mike, I know you like this kid. He looked very good last week as Brady's target. And they've said they will use him more in games where pass rush is important to defend against. They used Gronkowski last week. This week, they draw the Colts, which definitely has a pass rush on the end, Spreeny and Mathis. Talk about Gronkowski. Are you sold on Gresham, or is Gronkowski kind of tugging at you a bit?
No, actually, that's a close call, too. I kind of preferred Gresham earlier in the week, and actually Richard prefers Gronkowski. So I guess that's a little bit undecided. We'll look at it. You know, this team, in case you haven't noticed, had one of the big tight ends that went down. So we've been scrambling a tight end all year. We had the Green Bay tight end, Finley. But, you know, I think it's pretty close this week between Gresham and Gronkowski. I mean, even though Gronkowski had three touchdowns, he didn't have a ton of catches, and he had a lot of games where he was just, you know, invisible. So it's close. But Gresham also, same thing. I mean, we're really just struggling to find a guy who's going to put up decent numbers and get us a few points at the tight end positions.
Now, if you had,
Todd, do you have anybody else that that is available at tight end? The reason I ask that is because I think Gronkowski, him or Hernandez, neither one of them are going to have much luck this week. So Gresham is your only other option? Is that what you're saying?
Well, there's Dressen, but I'm not too thrilled with him either.
Yeah.
Yeah, although Ben Watson did have a pretty big day against the Jets. Wouldn't that be something? You sit here talking about the two guys, and it's always your third one to go off. That's how it is for me. You know, Gronkowski, it's interesting the matchup that he has. You know, they are going against the number one tight end defense in the league in the Colts, while Gresham's going up against the 31st best, one of the worst defenses against tight ends. So, you know, that's usually the time where you just flip it around the other way because you know something just fluky is going to happen in that game. And Gresham definitely looked good, so I understand. You also have Brandon Jackson on your bench who's been more than serviceable this year, and the rest of your team, though, looks very rock solid. Listen to this lineup, gang, here at the chat room, the crew at Red versus Blue. Rivers, well, you know what, Todd, you know this team. You go ahead and run those starters down. Let them hear your starting lineup.
All right, well, starting lineup for now. By the way, real quick, I have a feeling Brandon Jackson will end up in my lineup as a flex and that we'll bench Malcolm Floyd. I'm just getting more and more nervous about him. But right now in the lineup, we have Philip Rivers. At running back, we have Frank Gore and Jamal Charles. Now, our three wide receivers we're starting are Terrell Owens, Malcolm Floyd, and Greg Sings. At flex right now, we have Mike Thomas. Got Jermaine Gresham in, and Billy Kendiff kicker, and San Diego Chargers defense.
Good deal.
Yeah, very, very solid,
yeah.
Man.
That's solid, Todd.
Thank you. Yeah, so far this year, the WCFF teams have been going pretty good. We're pretty happy about them.
Oh, absolutely. This is your bread and butter. This is why you've won that. It's no fluke when you win the $200,000, that's for sure. Now, you got Terrell Owens in the lineup. This had to have been a very hard pick for you when you finally uttered the words and they came out of your mouth on draft day. Did both of you guys agree that you would spend a high pick on Terrell Owens? Because what was he going? He was going around the 6th, 7th round, right, about that time? So,
well, I wish I had the draft in front of me, but, yeah, he was as high as 5th or 6th round by the time draft day came, yeah.
That's tough to do. I know – you know, I drafted right next to a guy that said they're just going to – they love T.O. They're going to throw to him all the time. And I'm just like, yeah, could be, but I just don't want him on my team. Did you ever have that feeling, or were you just like, this is all about the targets?
Well, I really flipped around on T.O. You know, when I was doing a lot of the early drafts, especially before he had a team, you know, someone would take him in the 9th, 10th round, and everyone would laugh, and I was on the side of everyone laughing. I mean, I thought he was done. And just as we got closer to the season and he went to the Bengals, I just liked it, you know. And then when we got a week or two away, it just kind of felt like, you know, he's not going to go crazy. He's got his buddy there, so he's not going to have off-the-field issues as much. And, you know, I still think he had something left in the tank, and I just it seemed like a good fit. And where you were getting him in the 5th, 6th round, if he was a shadow of what he used to be, that's a steal. And he had an amazing stretch. Wow, what a stretch. So it worked out.
We're talking to Todd Allman, former world champion of fantasy football, $200,000. Mike, you had a question for Todd?
Yeah, if you don't mind, what's been your sleeper and what's been your bust? If you had to name a sleeper from your team that you drafted from the beginning and a bust that just totally did you no good?
Yeah. Well, you'd see a lot of similarities on a lot of my teams. I definitely had Mike Thomas as a sleeper, and I have him on a ridiculous amount of teams. And so you'll see him on a lot of my teams. Let's see, what else? I actually like Brandon Jackson. We drafted him. I thought he could be a real solid starting running back if you know, the guy in front of him goes down, and sure enough, he did. As far as busts go, I don't really see him on these teams, but, you know, I got Ryan Matthews everywhere. That was a huge bust, and I have Pierre Thomas everywhere. Those are basically injury busts, but nonetheless, they're early picks, and they kill your team.
Yeah, cool.
Todd, we want to jump to this game. The Oakland Raiders are obviously an upstart team that's looking a whole lot better. They're on the road to Pittsburgh, who just suffered a defeat, and they're playing a game where you've got one of the best running backs in the league, arguably, and Darren McFadden. I mean, he's been just fantastic, but he's stepping in against a rush defense who is far and away the best against a run this season. So is this a situation that you could see, you know, let me just, you know, let me throw out, like, you know, you might have a Gaffney or maybe a, I don't know, you know, not a Donald Brown, you know, because he's been just awful, but, you know, somebody that's serviceable. Do you put them in, or do you go ahead and take the chance that McFadden can get it done against Pittsburgh just because he's so involved?
Well, I don't have McFadden on many teams. I wasn't super high on him preseason. So I really suppose it just depends on what your alternatives are. For the most part, I would probably put McFadden in at home, even though I've got a feeling that this is the week that the Raiders fall back down to earth and that they get crushed by the Steelers. But, you know, it's hard to bench Darren McFadden right now. I mean, when he's in, he's getting tons of yards, he's getting touchdowns, he's getting catches, so I don't think you can bench him unless you've just got an incredibly good option.
Let's talk about Darren McFadden versus Felix Jones this week. Felix Jones looks like he's kind of turned the corner a little bit last week. There's a lot of good mojo going on with the Cowboys right now after that big win, and everybody assumes that Dallas is going to look good against the Detroit Lions. He finally played well against the Giants. He had 14 carries for 51 yards, and then he had that nice catch for 3 for 85 and a touchdown. The Cowboys finally found a way to get him more involved, Todd. So that was the most carries he's had since week 6. So would you put a guy like Felix Jones in your lineup over McFadden, or would you keep rolling with McFadden?
It's a funny question because I've got like 40 teams and you're talking about two guys that I barely own anywhere. but I'll answer it anyway. I would probably play McFadden. I'd play McFadden. I mean, Philadelphia just looks incredible right now. I could easily see Philadelphia actually going up on the Giants on the road and therefore limiting the run game of Dallas and Felix Jones. He still catches the ball out of the backfield, but I just got to feel like McFadden's going to be more involved. I mean, I think they're going to try and use him the whole game. So I would go McFadden.
Yeah, they've got a tough matchup. It's Detroit they're playing, and let's talk about LeGarrette Blount for a second. Is this a guy that obviously you've seen him? He's done a fantastic job since taking over the main running back in Tampa. I mean, this kid, he has double-digit fantasy points in two of the last three games. He's coming off a real solid performance in Week 10 against Carolina. But this matchup at San Fran could be tough. Mike, what's the line on this game? Is San Fran favored? Don't tell me San Fran is favored, please.
San Fran is 3.5-point favored, and the over-under is 41.5, which is a little light on this game, which screams to me that LeGarrette Blount might have a tough time doing what he wants to do. San Francisco, they can have some fun in the passing game, and in this game in particular, I really believe Frank Gore is going to break out with a big game.
Well, way to step out on a limb there, partner. Todd, look, man, you got LeGarrette Blount taking over, and now you've got San Francisco. Can you even believe San Francisco is favored? They barely squeaked out a win against St. Louis, which I called. I made money on that game last week. Now it's they're favored over Tampa Bay. What is going on here?
Well, I mean, I'm sure that they're just mainly factoring in that, you know, home game, and San Francisco's played a little bit. It's San Francisco's at home, right?
Yeah, they're at home.
That's a good point.
So,
so you might
I'm sure that's a factor. Yeah, that's a factor, and I guess a lot of people just don't give Tampa Bay credit. You know, they're not a high-scoring team, but, yeah, I really like LeGarrette Blount. He looks like an animal running the ball.
That line just looks so backwards to me. Let's talk about Mario Manningham at Philadelphia, Todd. This guy, he steps in for the injured Steve Smith. He had 10 catches for 91 yards, but more importantly, he had 16 targets. Now, I'm praying. I'm please Manningham and Nix. I've got this combo. I backed up Nix in the World Championship with Manningham, and I've started him last week. I'm going to start him again, so my season hinges on this game, Eli Manning at Philadelphia. I'm going to go ahead and throw this lineup decision at you. I've got Manningham. I've got Nixon there. I've got James Jones and Michael Crabtree. I've got to choose between one of these guys, Manningham, James Jones, and Crabtree. I've got to bench one of those guys. What would you do here?
I would bench James Jones. I mean, I love him as an athlete, but he's pretty inconsistent. And Crabtree, you know, is definitely the go-to receiver there. He just seems like the bigger play to me, just the bigger upside. I would bench James Jones. I would not bench Manningham or Nix. I have one team where I'm in the same situation as you, starting those two guys, and I'm very excited to have them both in my lineup, although the Philly matchup isn't ideal, but you can't bench either one of them.
I just asked the former world champion, Mike, I'm going to ask you, James Jones, driver's a little iffy. It does sound like he might play, or Crabtree. Which of those guys do you bench, and which one of those guys do you ride to the championship?
Well, you know, I'm not going to there is no way you can bench Crabtree, in my opinion. You got to start him. Manningham. Manningham sounds like a definite starter, in my opinion.
All right. Well, I had James Jones in there because I thought Driver was going to sit. Now it sounds like he's going to play. I've got to reevaluate everything. So, Todd, there's a lot going on in the league. I mean, we could keep going on this. Mike Williams, this situation here with this DUI. I don't know what to think of it, but Tampa Bay against San Fran, that you've got to think that, look, I'm a guy that says this guy didn't do much wrong here. He had a couple of drinks. They said he's weaving, but he failed a field sobriety test. I mean, he blew a .06. He was fine, I'm sure. I mean, I know what a .06 probably feels like, you know. It's not drunk. So he's got something to prove here. Maybe even a little chip on his shoulder. Freeman going to throw him the ball a little bit. Are you down on him at all this week, or are you going to put him in with confidence?
I'm putting him in with confidence now. I feel pretty much what you just said is how I feel. First of all, you know, you hear the news, and you're like, oh, I wonder if he's going to be suspended or not start. And then you hear that it's under the legal limit, and the report I read is that he was weaving in and out of traffic like a lot of people do when they're trying to get somewhere. And I don't think he was impaired. I think they saw him leaving. They pulled him over. They smelled alcohol. And who knows if there's any other factors. But they arrest him. But he's under the legal limit. So they've already said he's not going to be suspended. I agree. I think he will have a little bit of a chip on his shoulder. I would start him everywhere I have him.
Mike, what do you think about this situation, man?
I'm going to jump in right now. The guy, I heard he was speeding and, you know, whatever. But, you know,
marijuana.
Nothing good happens at that time in the, morning. But, you know, he's a great wide receiver. And so we'll see what happens with him. But I don't like the situation. And so I'm not going to start him.
Todd, what do you do with this Indianapolis Colts? There's another big shootout. Mike, I always count on you for the over-unders. Indy, New England, that's got to be approaching 48 or 50 or something like that. But you've got all of these injuries in Indianapolis. Reggie Wayne, if you drafted him, he's questionable. Austin Colley is questionable. They both did practice today on Friday. It sounds like we'll know a little bit more on Saturday, but you've got a die. He's not practicing. He's doubtful. Mike Hart's not expected to play. What do you do if you've got Colts? I'm sure you've got them somewhere.
Well, I'll tell you what. Just give you and Todd some insight. New England is a 4-point favorite, and the over and under is 50. So you almost nailed it there, Scott. It's going to be a shootout. They're going to score. They're going to score a lot of points. I would play Jacob Tammy all day long. And as far as New England, I don't know who to start other than Tom Brady. I would start Tom Brady.
All right, Lou, or Todd, go ahead. Give us your perspective on this.
You know, I don't really know what to say about that game except for I want to watch it. that's definitely going to be a fun game.
Yeah.
I agree. I mean, you obviously start any Colt you have in the receiving game if they're playing. New England's been pretty horrible against the pass. But, yeah, I mean, New England's just a weird team, you know. Where I have Wes Welker, it just doesn't feel great. He doesn't seem at all like the big explosive player he used to be. I think losing Randy Moss was huge for them. It wasn't about his stats. It was about what he did for the rest of the team. You know, I'm really not sure about this one. I feel like I kind of like Indy a little bit.
Yeah, it's just a real question. If I had Reggie Wayne and I'm sitting here counting on him for a big week, remember, this is a money week. If you bomb on this week when you're trying to win the, you know, get into the championship round, that field of four there, there's nothing left you can do. You cannot make
a
mistake here.
You lose out.
But you know what? The other thing is, I don't want to overanalyze this stuff. If you overanalyze it to death with the stats and you let the stats get in the way, just take the guy that you got in your heart that you think's going to go, and that's the guy you got to go with. I mean, you drafted them for a reason, and they're here for this week. That's kind of how I go. I mean, I've seen it too many times. You take the guy that's going against the 30th pass defense instead of the guy that's in the fifth, but you have a better feeling about that. You can't analyze by the numbers, can you?
No, I agree with what you're saying a lot. I mean, overanalyzing, I think, is a huge problem. I actually don't read a tremendous amount because you read every opinion, you know, on every side, and they all kind of make sense, and then you're just more confused the more you know.
Well, you know what? I think that, you know, after hearing you guys talk about it, then Jarvis Green-Ellis could have a huge game for New England. I mean, makes sense.
I mean, he's real hit and miss. He's real hit and miss, you know, if he's going to get two touchdowns or if he's going to get shut out and have 40 yards rushing. So, I don't know. He's a tough one to call for me.
Yeah, he's a guy that could get you four or five, and I'd rather have that guaranteed 12, you know, 10 or 12 points,
but,
you know, than a guy like Ben Jarvis.
Yeah, but he's been a nice surprise. I mean, if you're sitting at Matthews and you don't have much option, I mean, he's a great guy to put in there. I mean, he's getting production.
No Sean Moreno this week. Again, he's the Monday night game against San Diego. San Diego is one of the better run-stopping teams in the league. You would assume that this is going to be one of those air-it-out, shoot-it-out games, but San Diego is also one of the best defenses in the league against quarterbacks. So it's kind of hard to figure out how this game is going to play out. You would imagine that San Diego is going to jump out all over you. They're a 10-point favorite, which would mean at that point, Orton's, you know, just airing it out and throwing the ball. If that occurs, is Moreno going to be part of this offense, or should owners look elsewhere?
No, I think Moreno is hitting his stride right now. I mean, I think you would have to play him. I mean, unless you have an incredible option, but, you know, Moreno finally got healthy and, you know, he catches the ball a lot. I think you have to play him. That being said, I would say that this game's got, you know, San Diego all over it. I mean, San Diego, this is kind of their time of the year where they start really coming on. And I really see Denver's been so good, but I really see this as a letdown game for them. And I think San Diego will probably roll on that one. But it'll be a Monday night, so anything can happen on a Monday night.
Well, Todd Ullman, thank you for joining Red vs. Blue, buddy. We are rooting for you. You've got two teams that look very solid. We're going to watch them this week. And you've obviously got the Steve Breston situation to monitor there with Malcolm Floyd. And then on the other side of the ball, or on the other team, you've got Gresham or the Gronk. One of those guys is going to find your lineup. I know you'll put a lot of thought into it before you do. Maybe even a Brandon Jackson getting into your lineup. So it's probably going to be Brandon Jackson at the end. That's what you said. So good luck this week, man. And thanks for being on Red vs. Blue. You're welcome here anytime.
Cool. Thanks a lot, guys. It was fun.
Thanks a lot, guys.
All right. Todd Ullman, $200,000.
Good luck to you guys.
Former world champion of fantasy football. He was a great guest, Mike. He really knows the stuff. He's a great fantasy player, and you can always rely and lean on that a little bit of insight there to kind of carry over into some of these discussions. He thinks Crabtree over James Jones, Mike, and you think the same, huh?
Yeah, I do. I would rather have Crabtree because Crabtree is he's found his niche, and I mean, I know James Jones is coming into his own, but let's face it, Don Driver, he might be back this week. So I would rather have Crabtree over James Jones.
Okay. They're reporting in the chat room. Gates is having the lingering pain, brutal and frustrating. It's not a guy you want to get in there. Thank you, 7.2, for reporting on that. Steel City says he is on Moreno. And, man, there's a lot going on in the chat room. If you ever get a chance, come on into the chat room at Red vs. Blue, 11 o'clock Eastern. We're on from 11 o'clock to midnight every Friday night. We never miss. If it's not me, it'll be Mike. If Mike's not here, it'll be me. We'll always bring somebody on. Mike, you know who I like this week? I'm Sean Hill of the Lions. It wasn't a good play last week, but you're playing the Dallas Cowboys. It's a pass-heavy team that ranks number one in passing attempts. They're throwing the ball 43 times a game. And look at this. In the last five games that he started, he'll pass for over 300 yards in three of them. He's averaging over 17 points in those games. And you look at the Cowboys, they spot a banged-up secondary, which ranks 21st against the pass, giving up over 230 yards in the game. You've got Newman out. You've got Jenkins listed as questionable. You gotta like Hill to attack the secondary, and that means big things for Calvin Johnson, possibly for Brandon Pettigrew this week because Burleson is a little dinged up. Burleson has that injury. That's what happened to him last week. He was limited with a thigh on Friday, but he is expected to play. But I really like Pettigrew this week, and I love Calvin. Obviously, you've got to have Calvin in your lineup, but I like Pettigrew as a sleeper.
Yeah, I see what you're saying there, Scott. Right now, we're looking at Dallas as a 5.5-point favorite, six. It's between 5.5 and six. The over and under is 46.5, so it screens the points. The points being scored by Detroit may be by Jobin Best. I just think that Dallas has changed their whole system, their whole way about doing things. And I think they're going to be able to – they're going to limit Calvin Johnson. And I'm going to say this right now. They're going to limit Calvin Johnson, Sean Hill, and their defense is that good, and they should be able to do that. So,
yeah, there's no –
I see the numbers.
No, that's for sure.
You've got to keep Cal in your lineup. No matter if you think he's limited or not, it doesn't make a hill of beans difference because he's still going in your lineup. So you know, you got to figure out these guys that you might start.
But you might be disappointed in the number of points that he puts up this week. That's what I'm saying.
I'm disappointed in B. Wells. Every week it's either questionable or out. The week he is going to play, he doesn't get any carries. Now he's back in. B. Wells has been an absolute nightmare for owners, and for a guy that looked like he might be able to do something this year, he's been an absolute bust. That's your bust
what, Scott? I'll tell you what. B. Wells has been a bust, but there's been no bigger bust than D'Angelo Williams. That guy was the biggest bust in the world, and it's just the way it works. I mean, in fantasy football, you rely on somebody. You go wide receiver, running back, wide receiver, vice versa, and just keep on going down the line. But when you get somebody like a D. Will or a Beanie Wills on your team at the same time, that's tough. Thank goodness for Rashard Menhall because he gets a touchdown every game.
Yeah, Shockey's ruled out this week, too, for the Saints. Look for Dave Thomas, and I like my sleeper here in Jimmy Graham. Another breakout waiting to happen here. Jimmy Graham very possibly will have a good week. Scheffler's got that questionable shoulder. He's not practicing that much. Driver was limited in practice with the quad, but he is expected to play. So, again, do you put James Jones in with a banged-up Driver? I say you do unless the option is very, very strong. You've got to make sure and put James Jones in the lineup unless you have somebody very, very good to play. Stewart's been ruled out. That's another bust right there in Carolina. You're going to get more. Mike Goodson's going to get some play. But, again, that's just a brutal matchup playing Baltimore. They're going to take him away. They're going to take Steve Smith away. Randy Moss is the guy I want to talk about, Mike. To finish, you know, if you guys got Randy Moss, you're more than likely you need to have him in your lineup, but you just hate to do it. And it's the most important week of the season, do or die, make the playoffs or not. Can you live with putting him on your bench on the most important week of the season?
Absolutely. I can put him on my bench right now, and I'll tell you why. Because this is Chris Johnson's team, and Chris Johnson will make sure that he's gonna run the ball probably 20, 25 times. When was the last time Chris Johnson ran the ball for 25 times in the game? It's time for this guy to just take a hold of this team and say, it's my team and this is what's happening. So if you're a Randy Moss owner, in my opinion, I would not start him at all.
Another guy that looked good was Keelan Williams. I saw he was still available even after that big game. Of his, he was still not picked up in the World Championship of Fantasy Football in my league. He could have been had for a dollar. He got the start in Week 10 with Terrain and Portis Hurton, but after falling behind to that lead, he wasn't a major focus in the offense. Now, he did have 16 carries for 89 yards and two touchdowns, but a lot of that was mop-up duty. So, the Titans, they're a good offensive team. They're not likely to be as explosive as the Eagles, meaning – you know, Keelan should get a chance to shine. So, I could see Keelan putting up another 15, you know, even 20 points on a good 120 yards and make the touchdown.
That wouldn't surprise me a bit. Keelan Williams could be good, but let's face it, the Washington offense is in disarray. They have no running game. The only reason they put up 28 points against Philly was because they were coming from behind, and they had to do what they had to do at that point. I'm not buying into Washington's running game whatsoever unless they have Terrain. Or you better watch it, guys, because the kid may come back. And when I'm talking about the kid, I'm talking about Clinton Portis. Clinton Portis, he may be back, not this week, but maybe next week. So keep an eye on Clinton Portis.
Boy, if I had the buzzer meter queued up, I would have hit you with it right there. Look, back to this Moss situation, we've got about 60 seconds left in the show. He was essentially a decoy last week with five targets. But look, even if you're skeptical about what Randy Moss is going to do this week, Moss at least has a promising matchup The Redskins, off the massacre, the Michael Vick massacre, they've allowed 14 catches, 200 yards a game, and 2.3 touchdowns per game to the wide receivers. So this could be a game where Randy Moss finally wakes up for owners. Mike, we've got to go. Good luck in all your league. We've got to make
good
it happen.
Good luck to you, Scott. Enjoy the show, bub.
We hope you guys make it happen.
One bleeds red, and one bleeds blue. Two. You've been listening to Red vs. Blue Sports Talk Radio, where Planet Red and Big Blue Nation collide, with your hosts, Scott Atkins and Michael Trent. Please join us next time.